分离恨，西格鲁。
The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, 16th chapter, text number 7, given by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, recorded on the 27th of January, 1975, in Tokyo, Japan.
Raghunathanmitam Tvam Sajivam Shaktaitam Pravrtyam cha nivrtyam cha
Pravrtyam cha nivrtyam cha
Janana vidurasura
Janana vidurasura
Shocham napi chacharo
Shocham napi chacharo
Satyam teshu vidyate
Satyam teshu vidyate
Those who are demoniac do not know what is to be done and what is not to be done. Neither cleanliness nor proper behavior nor truth is found in them.
It is the part of
In every civilized human society, there is some set of scriptural rules and regulations which are followed from the beginning, especially among the Aryans, those who adopt the Vedic civilization, and who are known as the most advanced civilized peoples. Those who do not follow the scriptural injunctions are supposed to be demons. Therefore, it is stated here that the demons do not know the scriptural rules, nor do they have any inclination to follow them.
So, the human being,
pravittiṃ ca nivittiṃ ca janāna vidurāsura naso camanā pichācāra na sattam teshu vidyate.
In the human form of life,
there are two classes of men.
First of all, living beings. Amongst living beings, there are some living beings which can move or can walk from one place to another. And there are certain other living beings which cannot move, just like the trees, plants, they are also living beings. But they are standing in one place for many thousands of years. They have no independence to move. Now, in the moving living beings, there are so many. The flies, the insects, the reptiles, the birds, the beasts. In this way, by evolutionary process, one after another, one comes to the form of human being. This human being is therefore very, very rare. After going through 8,400,000 species of life, one comes to this human form of life. So, here is the chance of getting freedom from this evolutionary process. Bhavanam janmanavante, after many, many births, we have gone. Why? That to become civilized. What is civilization? Civilization, the Aryans are called civilized. Why? Aryans means going forward. And what is the destination of going forward? The destination is to understand the original cause of creation, God. Janmadasya jatah. That is the Vedanta philosophy. Janmadasya jatah, the original cause from where everything is coming into being, by whose management everything is maintained, and after annihilation everything will enter into him. That is the original person. So human form of life is meant for understanding the original cause of all causes. That is human form. Inquisitively. And others, less than human being, just like lower animals, cats and dogs, not to speak of the trees and plants, they are standing in one place. Rather living beings, even the insects, birds, bees, they haven't got sufficient intelligence. sufficient intelligence to understand what I am, why I am suffering. Everyone is suffering, that's a fact. The whole struggle for existence is going on. Just like just now, two big directors of Mrs. Dhyanaphan Company came to see me. We have got business with them. Now, they are meeting with so many problems for printing work. They are maintaining about 200,000 people to carry on their business. Huge establishment, huge responsibility. But there are problems also. So this material world is full of problems. One who understands, he is called Shura or civilized man. One who does not understand, he is called Asura. Asura, not Shura. Aryan, non-Aryan. So amongst the Shuras who can understand the problems of life, there is a system which is called religion. And what is the purpose of religion? Religion is to understand what is God. That is religion. Dharmantu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. So, all over the world, the civilized man has got some religion. It may be professing the Vedic religion, somebody, the Buddhic scripture. Just in your country, most of you are Buddhist. There are similarly Mahavedan scriptures, Christian scriptures. But in each and every scripture, there is rules and regulations to follow to become more and more aware of the topmost principle, the original cause of all causes. That is means it. So one who does not care to understand this philosophy, they are called Asura. And one who understands this philosophy of life, they are called Shura or Devata, God, demigods, they are called. Dau bhutasarga loke daivo asura evacha. There are two kinds of men throughout the whole universe. There are men in other planets also. They are very highly elevated. They are therefore called devas or demigods. The moon planet, the sun planet. There are many other heavenly planets. There is sun god. In the Bhagavad Gita you find the name of the sun god or the predominating deity of the sun planet, Vibhushan, his name is Vibhushan. Everything you will find in the Shastra. So, there are two divisions, Asura and Shura, or Asura or Deva, Devasura. Deva means those who are conscious of the responsibility of life, they are called Deva. So, for the Devas, Krishna has explained so many things. Now he is explaining about the Asuras. What are the symptoms of Asura? He said, first of all, pravittiṃ ca nivittiṃ ca janā na vidu asura. Pravittiṃ, nivittiṃ. Now, as soon as we have got this human form of life, we have got different desires. Or we accept something as very nice, we reject something as not very good. This discriminating power is there. Even in animals, there is this discriminating power. Just like a pig, if you give him halwa, and if you give him stool, he would like to eat stool than the halwa. He will find it natural. He has got natural inclination to eat stool, and a human being will be naturally inclined to take halwa. So this is called pravitti nivitti. The member of the Krishna consciousness society, if you offer him tea, he will not take it. And others, if you offer tea, will very gladly accept. This is called pravitti nivitti. So the pravitti and nivitti, why a person is not accepting tea or smoking or something else, and why other person accepting the same thing. Amongst the animal also, you give something to animal, he will reject. and another thing he'll accept. These two things are there in every living being, accepting something and rejecting something. This is called pravritti and nivritti. So far the human form of life is concerned, there must be some pravritti and nivritti. There is that inclination, pravritti and nivritti, but they should be systematized. What things we should accept and what things we should reject, that we must learn. Therefore we have got so many books, literature, education, what things we should accept and which things we should reject. But what is the basic principle? Why I shall accept something and reject something? The basic principle is to go forward in our spiritual understanding. That is the basic principle. We are suffering in this material world. We may say that we have no suffering, it is very pleasing, but actually in every step we are suffering. Just like this is winter season, to take bath in the winter season is suffering, and in the summer season, to take bath in the summer season, it is very pleasing. So either we are suffering or we are enjoying according to different seasons and circumstances. But actually we are suffering, because this winter season we do not want chilly cold, therefore we are covering. The cause is we are suffering, therefore we are covering. And after covering we are feeling some pleasure. This pleasure is for the time being absence of suffering. Actually we are suffering, but by some arrangement, when we stop that suffering for the time being and feel enjoying, that is material enjoyment. Actually there is no enjoyment, because in the winter season, by covering the body, we are feeling pleased, but in the summer season, by covering the body, we feel not pleased. So this is going on. Why the same dress, warm dress, does not give us pleasure in the summer season, and the same dress in the winter season gives us pleasure? We do not know whether dress is pleasing or suffering. And sometimes it is pleasing and sometimes it is displeasing. Similarly, water. We do not know whether water is pleasing or displeasing. Sometimes it is pleasing, sometimes it is not pleasing. Everything. Matra sparsha asukunti asitusna sukadukkhada. So in this material world, actually, we are suffering either in summer season or winter season or any other season, with dress or without dress, with water, not water. The cause is going on. Suffering only, but we are trying to cover this cause of suffering. And by temporarily stopping the cause of suffering, we are thinking that we are enjoying. But actually, there is no enjoying in this material world. Because we'll find in the Bhagavad Gita, this material world has been described as dukkhalayam sahasatam. It is for suffering. Even if you do not take very seriously about this winter season or summer season, suffering or enjoying, at the end, either you accept these temporary sufferings and enjoying, well, ultimately we are suffering. Ultimately suffering how? Because we will have to die. Who wants death? Does anyone want death voluntarily? No. As soon as there is any cause of death, immediate death, we become very much sorry. Suppose you are sitting in an airplane and you understand now it is going to be crashed. Will you be happy? No. Why? Because you are going to die. Suppose you are on the sea and it is going to sink in the water. Will you be happy? No. That time we chant Hare Krishna. Sukse sabha, dukse sabha hari bhaje, sukse bhaje koi. when we are in danger, in Japan, we have got many times the experience of earthquake. What do you do at that time? Huh? You all Japanese boys and girls, what do you do? Have you experienced an earthquake? Huh? You have? What do you do at that time? When there is earthquake, what do you do? But I've seen in America, everyone, they scream. And perhaps they remember about God. Naturally, they remember. God saves, God. What is it? Huh? That means that we do not wish to die. That's a fact. You cannot say that death is a very good thing. Nobody will say. But we have to die. There is no excuse that I shall not die. Death is as sure as death, they say. But you don't want death. This is suffering. Not only death, even a lifetime, just like you are old man. Who wants to become old man? Everyone wants to remain youthful. This is undesirable. This is suffering, actually suffering, because we are old man. We are suffering so many diseases, so many inconveniences. If I am not helped by 3-4 men, then I cannot move. So this is suffering, old age is suffering, a disease condition. Apart from death and old age, a disease condition. Suppose you are suffering from some disease, some fever. So this is inevitable. You cannot avoid disease. You cannot avoid old age. You cannot avoid death. And you cannot avoid birth. So suffering, the whole material world is full of suffering. Dukkhalayam asasatam. Suppose any place you are living, it is not very comfortable. But if you are assured that you will not die, you will not be diseased, you will not become old, you will not take birth again. If there is no death, there is no question of birth. So, even if you are assured of immunity from these sufferings, still there are many other sufferings. Suppose you are not thinking very well. Today my mind is very disturbed. That is called adhyatmi. I have got some pain in my body. That is also adhyatmi. Some friend or some animal has done some mischief to me. That is also suffering. Adi bhauti and adi daivi. The earthquake. Nobody wants earthquake, but there is earthquake. This is adi daivi. There is famine, there is pestilence, there is so many things. So even if we are assured that we are not going to die, still there are other sufferings, and of course there is no question of not dying. Everyone will have to die. So even if you accept this place of suffering, if you are sure that you live here, still you become happy. All right, I will not die. But that is also not possible. Therefore, asasatam, even if you make your arrangement very nicely, that you will not suffer. But you will not be allowed to stay. Not such like in Tokyo city. You are making very big, big buildings everywhere, all over the world, to live very comfortably. But that comfortable life is also not assured because you will have to die. You will have to die. Therefore it is called asasatam, not permanent. Even if you are under the impression that I am very happy, that happiness also will not be allowed you for eternal time. It will be finished. So there is no question of happy life within this material world. This is to be understood first. Very pessimistic. Those who are intelligent, they are very pessimistic. Even materially, they are pessimistic. They are living some standard of life. This is not good. There are many houses, very low, and cottage. So people think that this is not very good life. Let us have very nice building. So this struggle is going on. That is human nature. That unless, until he approaches the final post or platform of happiness, he is not happy. That is called struggle for existence and survival of the future. So sura and asura means those who are trying to reach the ultimate goal of life, where happiness is guaranteed. One who is trying for that, he is called sura, deva. And one who is satisfied with this temporary so-called happiness, he is called asura. That is the difference. Now, if you want to reach to the ultimate goal of life, where only blissful life, Satchidananda Vigraha, eternal body of knowledge and bliss, then you have to become Shura. It is not that the Asuras will remain Asura. It doesn't matter. Even born in the Asura family, one can become Shura, just like Prahlad Maharaj. His father was Asura. But he was perfect Shura. That is possible. It is not prohibited to anyone. If he wants to become Shura, just like in ordinary life also, if you are determined to become medical man, you can become. There is no impediment. If you are persistent, you can become medical man, engineer or anything. People are trying, education. Similarly, if you want to become Shura, there is no impediment. There is no obstacle. You can become. Simply, you have to know what sort of life we should accept. Pravitti, this is called pravitti. And what sort of life we should reject? This is required. This is the distinction between Shura and Asura. Just like these European American boys, before coming to my shelter, they were doing everything. We prohibit illicit sex, we prohibit intoxication, we prohibit meat eating, we prohibit gambling. But these boys and girls are accustomed to all these heavy pravritti. But they have now changed their pravritti because they want to become Shura. They want to achieve the ultimate goal of life. One may not know what mode of life we should accept. One may not know what mode of life we should reject. But in the Shastra, in the teachings of great men, learned scholars, things are there we have to accept. We may not know, but we should accept. The Krishna consciousness movement is for this purpose, to change the pravritti nivritti. Just like there is pravritti for meat eating, we are advising, please do not eat. This is nivritti. Before that they do not know what is the difference between meat eating and not meat. But now they are understanding. Therefore they are becoming Shura. One who adopts the methods and why one should eat meat at all. Just like in our, you have taken, some of you might have taken prasadam here. So, how nicely they are meant. Our Bhanu is expert in making nice prasadam. These boys, these American boys and European boys and some Japanese boys, they have adopted this means. They are happy. So everyone can become Shura. Krishna says, it is hackneying. If somebody says, now he is born in the Asura family, he shall remain as Asura. No, no, that is not Shastra. He can be improved. He can become a Shura. That is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, you'll find. Māṁ hi pārtha vipāsitya jepiṣu pāpa-juṇa. Pāpa-juṇa. The Asuras are called pāpa-juṇi. Pāpa-juṇi meaning born in low-grade family. But Krishna says, māṁ hi pārtha vipāsitya jepiṣu pāpa-juṇa. Sriyāvaśyāstathā-sudrā-stepi-jānti-parāṅga. So there is no question of pāpa-juṇi or Asura. If one wants to become Shura and Devata, he can be. Why Krishna says, māṁ hi pārtha vipāsitya jepiṣu. In India, they sometimes come to fight with me that I am making pāpa-juṇi, namely the Europeans and Americans, they are considered by the rigid Hindus as a pāpa-juṇi. They cannot become. But why Krishna says, māṁ hi pārtha vipāsitya jepiṣu pāpa-juṇa. Tevijānti parāṅgati. So everyone has got the chance. Even he is born in pāpa-juṇi. Otherwise, why Krishna will say, tevijānti parāṅgati? Simply the condition is, māṁ hi pārtha vipāsitya. One should take to Krishna consciousness fully. Never mind, wherever he is born, he can be also transferred to the spiritual world. This is our movement. Krishna consciousness movement is like that. It doesn't matter whether one is Shura or Asura. Shura, Krishna also says, kim puna brahmana punya bhakta rajasya yastatha asukham imam lokam prapa vajasama. They simply, if we take to Krishna consciousness, it does not matter whether we are born in Papajoni or Punyajoni. Punyajoni, those who are born in Punyajoni, in nice family, for them it is very easy and natural. But even those who are born in Asura family, just like Balarama Maharaj became a great devotee. He is one of the authorities of devotees. But his father was Asura. Asura does not mean one community is simply Asura and other community is simply Asura. No, that is not. Any community, any person, if he follows the principle of Asura, he becomes Asura. If he follows the principles of Asura, even if he is born in Asura family, then he is Asura. These are the injunctions of the Shastra. People do not know it. So we, Krishna Consciousness Movement, we are simply trying to make the Asuras as Asura. This is our movement. Anyone who is not devotee is Asura. It doesn't matter whether he is born in some country or some family. It doesn't matter. If he is not a devotee of Krishna, then he is Asura. When you speak of Krishna means God. Anyone who is not devotee of God, who is not God conscious, is Asura. That is the Vishnu Bhakta Bhavet Daiva Asura Stad Viparaja. This is the distinction. Devata means Vishnu Bhakta, great devotee of the Supreme Lord. Vishnu means the Supreme Lord, all pervading. Vishnu Bhakta Bhavet Daiva Asura Stad, and those who are not devotees, godless, without any God conscious, they are all Asura. So this movement is to make Asuras as Suras. Then what is the advantage of becoming Sura and Asura? If you become Sura, then you become fit for entering into the kingdom of God, back to home, back to God. But if you remain Asura, then you have to remain in this material world, which is dukkhalam, asasatam, full of miseries and temperance. So, we don't say anyone Asura and Sura, but we understand from the Shastra, anyone who takes to Krishna consciousness, whatever he may be, he becomes a Sura. Even if he is born in Asura family, it doesn't matter. Just like Prahlad Maharaj, his father was an Asura. But still, he becomes the first-class Sura. Similarly, everyone can become first-class Sura. They are to be trained. Therefore it is said, that pravittiṃ ca nivittiṃ ca janāna vidura asura. Asuras, the default is asuras, they do not know how to live a very happy and clean life. They do not know. Āchāra, na saucaṃ na pichāchāra. They have not cleanliness and good behavior. So therefore we are teaching cleanliness. Rise early in the morning, take your bath. You must be clean, immediately. He rises early in the morning, he wakes up himself, he takes his bath, immediately becomes clean. Saucam, saktam saucam, samo damo titikha. These are the qualifications of brahmana or the suras. So they do not know it. Therefore we are training them. Rise early in the morning, chant Hare Krishna, have mangalarati. This is achara. This is achara. By practicing this, you can see the distinction between ordinary man and our man. Anyone, practically will see. In America, they are surprised. Although they are Americans, they inquire, are you Americans? Because in America there is no such thing. Any inquisitive person inquires. They say, the priest says that these boys, they are our boys, and they never came to church to inquire about what is God. Now they are mad after God. What is it? Because they have become suras by training. This is, so asuras can be turned into suras. There is no difficulty. Provided they abide by the rules and regulations and orders of the spiritual master, they can be suras. Because they do not know. They are na saucanga na pichachara, na sattanga teshu vidyate. They do not know what is sattam, sattanga param dhimai. Therefore we are teaching them Śrīmad Bhāgavatam, Sattam Param Dhīmahi, the ultimate truth. They do not know what is Sattva. This is the movement. To give them education, to understand what is the absolute truth, Sattam Param Dhumai. To teach them how to behave in life, how to become purified in life. This is a very scientific movement. If anyone wants actually to become Sura, the perfect man, they must join this Krishna consciousness movement. Then his life will be successful. Thank you very much.